Okay, praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over the Word. Father, we thank you that your Word is alive. Thank you, Father, your Scriptures are called the Holy Scriptures, that you bring a holiness with your Word. But, Father, there's also a practicality to your Word. And I pray today, Father, that as I share what you've put on my heart, Father, I just pray that each one of us would take something home that we've not heard before. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start out like we did last week, Pastor Larry. Would you bring that last song up towards the end and some of those phrases? I just want to kind of emphasize, sometimes, when you think about a boxing match that sometimes, you kind of lose your sight, you kind of lose your senses and stuff. And some of these phrases are absolutely great. I'm grateful. You're in it with me. I don't have to do this. I don't have to live this life by myself. I don't have to go just by my own faith. But God is with us. And the second thing on this one is, what's he doing? He's doing a good work. Everyone say good work. That's what the Bible says. He's working in us. He wants to do a work in us. Anything that comes up in your life today, tomorrow, or the next day, or the rest of your life, has two things. One, it's either to tear you down or to build you up. Well, the devil wants to tear it down, and the Lord wants to use it to build up. That's working through me, because God wants to work through me. And God's fighting the battle for us. David said, for the battle is? Come on, the battle is? Shout it out. Thank you very much. And God is not against me. I'm so thankful for that. And so we want to remember that life is a challenge, but we've always got God in it with us. Amen? So today, as I've been going through the New Testament, and thank you, Larry, going through the New Testament, and we're in the epistle of 1 John today. And last week we finished 2 Peter, and there were two points that I wanted to refresh our memory on. About 2 Peter was that Jesus is our precious faith. Precious is used a handful of times. And I want to make this comment about precious faith. We will value that which is most precious to us. And if salvation is precious to us, we will value that. And we will do what it takes to guard that. Amen? Very important. Second part that as we review is that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. There is no neutral. Now, I argued with a missionary one time years ago, and I'm sure they have forgotten about this, but we argued over this point. You're either going forward or you're going backward. I said, no, there's a neutral. And he said, no, there's not. There's no neutral. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Because if you're a neutral, you're going backwards. Thank you, Joe. That was decades ago. Yeah. So, what do we want to do today? You're here today because you want to keep moving forward. And so let's do that together. I want to encourage you to continue to always be moving forward. Yeah, sometimes in a boxing match, you get smacked and you get knocked down. You can stand there and whine like a baby, wee, cry like a baby, wee. No, you want to get back up, get back in the fight, and understand that God's for us and not against us. He'll take care of it. He'll have to knock out punch, right? So, all right, so as we move into 1 John, we're going to look at three things here before we get into four things. Say three things and then four things. Okay, so the first of the three things is that fellowship with Jesus and the Father can bring us great joy. Oh, get happy, right? Oh, get happy. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Now, remember, this is the Apostle John, and he's an eyewitness to Jesus and his ministry. That which we have seen and that which we have heard. So they saw the work of the ministry. They saw the work of the kingdom. And they heard the work of the kingdom, that you might have fellowship with us, because we are in fellowship with God. You can be in fellowship with God and us together. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy might be full. See, joy is not, true joy is not based upon circumstances. Somebody say amen, please. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based upon a bank account. It's not based on things. It is based on a person. And that person's name is Jesus Christ. That's where true joy has come from. Amen? And that's so important. We want to remember that. And I love that. If you back up to verse 3 for a second, Larry, in verse 3 it says we have fellowship. Everyone say fellowship. Does anybody know what the Greek word for fellowship is in the New Testament? Starts with a K. Koinonia, right. Koinonia. It's a different thing that the world has to offer, because in koinonia there's a closeness that doesn't happen in other fellowship. This is, I'll walk with you no matter what. I'll walk with you forever. Even if you make a mistake, I walk with you. There's other types of fellowships that don't do that. But God's fellowship, koinonia, that's that closeness. There's a genuineness to it. Boy, that's a good word. It is really genuine. How many of you really like genuine people? I love genuine people. I love genuine relationships. They're precious. Yeah. So that word was used quite a bit last week. So as we think about it. So I have a question for us to just kind of ponder for a half a second. What relationship brings you the greatest joy? What relationship brings you the greatest joy? Well, on Sunday morning, we celebrate our relationship with Jesus. That brings us the greatest joy. And then just kind of think, you know, family, friends, acquaintances. There are some relationships that do bring us great joy. And Mary and I have talked about this so many times. You know, there's relationships that you just love, because you can get around people and it's just warm. And, you know, you don't have to. I love relationships you don't have to work at, right? I love being around people that I don't have to work to be their friends. I'm just their friend. Get along with them, great, you know? And we need to appreciate those and express that at different times, our gratefulness for those relationships that bring us the greatest joy, the fellowships. Amen? So, all right, that's number one. Number two, these are some ouches that John wrote in the first chapter, and there's four of them here. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, one of my banties is that our words are containers. Our words are containers of life or death, blessing or cursing. That's what the scripture says. And I talk a lot about prophecy and watching what we say. And I know I have to check myself multiple times about things that I say. But in 1 John chapter 1, in a couple of three of the verses, at least in chapter 1 and one in chapter 2, it says, if you say. It doesn't say if you think. It doesn't say if you write. It says, if you say. Everyone say that. If you say this. All right, now let's look at this. Here's the first one. Verse 6. If you say that you have fellowship with God, but walk in darkness, you're a liar. And you don't practice the truth. Why? Because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. So we want to be cautious to make sure that we are in the best fellowship relationship with Christ and not walk in darkness. All right, number two, if we say, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin or sin nature, we are deceivers. In verse 8, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we always want to be careful. Now, I do not confess this, that I am a sinner. I am a saint who has been forgiven of my sins, and if I sin, I ask forgiveness, and I'm forgiven. It's a big difference. So, as we look at that in verse 6, and really, if we say that we have no sin, it really talks about the nature of sin there, not just an act. That's that sin nature. And it's kind of funny. We're all part of families, and we understand how young ones act. And do you ever have to teach a young child what wrong is? Now, this is what I don't want you to do this and tell them to do something wrong. Do we have to tell them what's wrong? No. They kind of do it automatically, right? They disobey without us telling us, oh, I want you to disobey. Why? Why does that happen? Why do we have to? That's what we call sin nature. That's the nature that we were born with, right? They just want to do wrong, and they just do wrong. And so that's the great thing about being born again. What happens to the old nature? The old man is what? Come on, shout it out, dead. Yeah, aren't you thankful? You don't want to know the old Michael. The old Michael was a bad boy. But the born again Michael's a different person. And that's the way it is, and I'm thankful for that. So we want to remember, if we say we never have sinned or don't have a sin nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, the third thing of these four ouches, in verse 10, it says this. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, I don't know that I've run across any people that say they've never sinned, but it's the kind of thing where we want to make sure that we understand the difference between somebody that's a sinner and somebody that's saved with the word. That word there, I do believe, has reference to Jesus being the word of life. See, because if we have Jesus in us, we don't want to sin, really. Right? You really don't want to. I'm sure when Dan got up this morning, he said, man, I'm just going to go out and do something bad. I don't believe we did that, yeah. Especially on Sunday morning when we don't come to church, right? Yeah. So it's part of that sin nature that I was talking about. But see, it's the word. It's the living word that will come into our life and change that sin nature. Yes. 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 Yeah. Repentance is, you're saying repentance isn't a one-time thing. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I kind of got off kilter a little bit at the office a couple weeks ago. And I'm sorry, I repented of that. That's bad attitude. It's not difficult. Repenting is not difficult. I didn't have to get on my knees and squall and bawl. It's a choice. Repenting is a choice. And then the grace comes to that. Okay, the fourth thing on chapter 2, this is chapter 2, verse 4, about the ouches here. It says, if we say, I know him, and I don't keep his commandments, that person's a liar, and the truth is not in him. And I'm sure that there were deceivers at this time in Christendom, where people would say that they knew Christ, that they were Christians, but they didn't follow the commandments, which there were two commandments that Jesus gave us. What were they? Love God and love your neighbor. Because if you love God and love your neighbor, the other 10 go easy. Other 9, if you wish. Right? It's not difficult. This isn't real heavy theology, is it? You okay? All right. So, let's go on. Number 3 on the outline there. How do we avoid the have-nots? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, I'll get to the have-nots in a second. And this is in the Amplified version. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts and treasures his message. Mary and I, When I was working as I talked with Mary a little bit, I said, let's go back. Let's go back in our Christian history and look at the messages that we've heard from Mary's first Bible school pastor to another pastor, to another pastor, to another pastor, to another ministry, a parachurch ministry. And we went through a number of things, and we could talk about the things that we learned from. What did I learn from Brian Zahn? I learned faith. Through and through and through. I'm so thankful for that. And Pastor Ollie Olson, he gave us just a love for the word. That guy could sit. that guy could stand up. You've been under him, Josh. He could stand up and just quote whole chapters, and it just flowed. He was an exhorter, a pure exhorter. And so sometimes it's okay to stop and think, well, what have I learned and who from? And it helps to refresh our memories. The Holy Spirit brings that stuff back to us and refreshes our memory. Why? To help build our faith and walk strong in our faith. Who habitually keeps his word and keeps his precepts, treasures those messages in their entirety. I can think of Mike Plain that's going to be here in a couple of weeks. I've got some messages from Mike Plain I'll never forget because I treasure them. And in him, the love of God has truly been perfected, complete or mature, and we know for certain that we are in him. I'm thankful for great preachers, great teachers in our life, and we want to do that. We can't, and it's not, Sunday morning just isn't enough. I want to encourage you to get more. Amen? So let's not be the have-nots here. Okay. So that's first three. Now we're going to go to number four. We're going to look at 4 points out of 1 John as we do the second half of this. And we're going to start with a word that we don't normally hear very often in sermons. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Because if anyone sins, we have an advocate." So everyone say, advocate. "I have an advocate with the Father, and was manifested to us." So let's look at that word advocate. What does advocate mean? We have an advocate. It's like, okay, if we've never heard that word or forgot about it, it's like, well, what if you had a secret bank account and didn't know about it, and all of a sudden you heard about it, you go, oh, that's pretty good. Well, we should be that with this word advocate as we refresh our memory here on what it is. An advocate is somebody who goes to bat for you. That's my version. They stand with you and they go to bat for you. Okay? It also goes into the legal aspect of the courts of heaven when the enemy wants to accuse you. The accuser of the brethren is what he's known. And we have an advocate, Jesus, the righteous one, who says, sorry, you can't accuse them because they're forgiven. It's over. It's done. I had a situation with somebody that is religious, I'll put it that way. And they were president of our lake, and I was doing something that was right and upright, and I told the president, this is what I'm doing to avoid this. And then I got falsely accused. Somebody sent me an email or called him up and said, you know, Mike Ulfers, he's doing this, and they're not supposed to do that. And he said, wait a minute, he's done everything to do this right, not wrong. But he was my advocate, and he silenced that accuser. And I'm thankful for that when there are certain situations. But Jesus is no different. When the enemy comes in to accuse us of doing something wrong or wants to condemn us, Jesus says, oh, wait a minute, Father. Mm-mm. I've got that right and authority over it because I live inside of them. That's an advocate. An advocate's like a defense attorney. Boy, they stand there, and Jesus stands there, and he'll preach till the devil goes down. Amen? Yeah, that's really what an advocate. Earthly advocates know they go to bat for us, and I love that. So that's what an advocate is, Jesus. Then the second point of these last four is that Jesus is who we should love. Why? Because he loved us first. Let's look at this. Now, this was written in the Living Bible. And the Living Bible was written 54 years ago. I think it came out in 1971. Now, I emphasize three things at the very first here because it's come true to this day. For the worldly things, everyone say world. The world has evil desires. The craze, oh, that's a typo there. The craze for sex. That's okay. The ambition to buy everything that appeals to you. Next line. And the pride that comes from wealth and importance. How many ads do you get a day? How many ads do you get? You got ad block. You got to put an ad blocker on to stop the ads. and they're coming at you 90 miles an hour. I thought television was bad. We even watched a series from, I don't know, how many years ago, and in an hour, you got 25 minutes of ads. Seriously. Because they're all pushing something. And now that we don't get the old outlets for advertisements, they're coming across the main thing. Remember, there's 8 billion of these on the planet. How many people live on the planet? 8.5 billion. Rough estimates. So that means somebody's got more than one. But look at this. The craze for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, those advertisements are like a stinking dart. They know just where to hit you in the heart. They know just where to prick your desire. Oh, well, maybe I could use that. Or, oh, yeah, you know. Point click, point click, point click, and the Visa bill comes. You go, oh, man, this is a bad deal. And the ambitions to buy everything that appeals to you. Number, let's go on, Larry. And the pride that comes from wealth and importance. These are not from God. This evil word of the self. And we have to fight those battles. We have to fight against that. Yeah. Let's go on. The world is fading away, and all these evil, forbidden things will go with it. But whoever, everyone say whoever, keeps the will of God will live forever. So we want to be careful. It's not that everything in the world is bad for us, but the world is sure pushing everything against us. And guess what? It's not going to slow down. It will increase until Jesus comes back and reigns on high. This craze for sexual things, this thing to buy everything, this thing to spend way over than what you're supposed to spend, is not going away. It's going to get worse and worse. The Bible says the world's going to get worse. The devil is not going to get better. Come on. The kingdom of darkness is not going to get light. The kingdom of darkness is going to continue to pound the world and the world system. Amen? All right, so we want to be aware of that. Okay, next one. Jesus is whom we should love. Love one another. In 1 John 3:11, it says, "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning and always will be, that we should love one another." Now, it's easy to love those who love you, but it's harder to love those who are against you. So let's work on that and see what you can do. Yeah. You know, I've told this story before, but I need to tell it to remind me. I had somebody that walked in my marketplace ministry, and they sat down, and I said good morning, and they broke out into tears, sobbing tears, couldn't hardly breathe. So I rolled up my chair. I said, "I guess we'll do dentistry later. What can I do for you today? How can I help you today?" Church, there's people hurting like that all around us. We just don't see it. We had somebody come out and visit with some friends and family, and I wasn't aware. We weren't aware until afterwards that this person walking in great depression. And I missed it while they were there. But we didn't notice it until we started putting things together. But we want to be aware. People are walking around busted, hurt. And we got the healer within us. We've got the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. However that cliche went. We've got healing within us. We've got victory within us. Thanks be to God who gives us victory. He didn't give us victory just for us. He gave us victory so we could share that victory with somebody else. And it's good. The world's going to get worse and worse. It's going to come against people harder and harder. They're going to be deeper and deeper in doo-doo. So let's try to help them out, right? So this is a message we've heard and always will be, that we should love one. We should love people. Amen? And the last one of these four things in 1 John is that we can win. We can win. We can win. In 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we can overcome, and we can help other people overcome. Nothing's greater than to have victory in your life and help somebody else to have victory in their life, right? Nothing greater than that. Come on. That's awesome when we can help people do that. And, you know, we want to remember those three faith verses that I've talked about. Thanks be to God who sometimes gives us victory. Always gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. And this is the victory that overcomes the world and its system, the craze that we talked about earlier, even our faith. So we have to have our faith that way. So Jesus is our victory. So whatever, whoever, I like whoever better than whatever. I'm not a whatever, I'm a whoever. Is born of God, overcomes the world, and this is our victory. Amen? So we can have victory. So I hope you got a little nugget out of 1 John today. So thank you for coming and listening. And why don't we stand? Lord, we thank you for your word today from 1 John and understanding where John comes from, because he did overcome the world. He gave up the things of the world to sit with Jesus and put his head on his chest, the very chest that was wounded for our transgressions, the very chest that bled out. I don't know if you've got a comprehension of what it's like to bleed out, but it's not a good thing, right? And John was that guy. He was the disciple that put his head on the chest of Jesus. And so, Father, as we read through this and we see the love of God, he's for us, as we were singing earlier, that God is for us, not against us. The Spirit of God is for us and not against us. And so, God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, we can go forth from this house, this message, happy, because God is for us and not against us. And, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this week. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Amen, please. Okay. Thanks for coming. Have a great week.